Hello and welcome to HomeKit Insider. This is your host, Stephen Robles, and I can call you HomeKiteers because Andrew O'Hara is not here this week. He's actually traveling, but he will be back next time. But joining me for a very special episode, we have guest Shane Watley, who has an incredible YouTube channel that talks about HomeKit products and everything HomeKit, over 80,000 subscribers. I'm so glad he was able to join us today. Shane Watley, how's it going, man?
Hey, doing all right. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I think of HomeKit stuff, there's a number of names and man, you're always pushing that HomeKit. You're consistent. I love your videos. And I've learned many things from like push cut notifications for home devices and all that. So we'll ask all about your setup in a little bit for sure. But you do a great job. So yeah, pleasure to have you.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, man. I do appreciate the support.
All right. So let's talk about some HomeKit news. We got a few things here. The Philips Hue app was recently updated. It has some small features like a demo mode, and it's got some new scenes. And that's pretty much it. Nothing too big there. I'm looking forward to getting some Hue devices in the new house. And so, Shane, I know you got a bunch of stuff. What percentage of your bulbs are Hue stuff?
I actually have very few Hue bulbs. I started with Hue, as many people do, so I still have a few kind of lingering around, but they're just so costly, so I didn't really get a whole lot of them. I have, I think, a light strip, a few bulbs still that I use in some automations, but really, that's it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I want to get into some of their outdoor stuff, but I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, maybe you're like me, because in the new house, you know, I had the blank slate, you know, I could choose kind of what to do there. And I really wanted to go more for switches, so I didn't have to worry about what kind of light bulb I put in. I can get dimmable, I can get different color temperatures, which, you know, Hue, you know, adjusts temperature automatically. But I like the idea of just switches controlling what was smart. Do you try to err more on the side of switches when you're doing your house stuff?
I do, yeah. And like I said, I started with, as many people do, I think I bought like a Philips Hue white starter kit, you know?
Yes.
And I changed out a bunch of the bulbs. This was years ago. Changed out a bunch of the bulbs and I think it was my kitchen chandelier, and learned very quickly when everybody started flipping that little light switch off the headaches that brought. So started transitioning over to smart switches, so that way everybody in the house can still use the switches and it wouldn't kill all my automations and all that good stuff. Right. So yeah, I definitely am a fan of smart switches. Pretty much if there's a light that's controlled by a switch, I will use a switch almost always.
For sure.
A smart switch.
Yeah. And we've talked about this on past shows, but I do like the Lutron Aurora, which is a Friends of Hue product. So if you do have Hue bulbs and you have the old style switches that are like peg, I don't know, what do you call it? I know paddle switches are like the big squares. What do you call the other style? Like the old school ones?
I don't know. There is a name for it, I'm sure. A toggle, maybe. I don't know if it's a toggle either.
Toggle switch. But the Lutron Aurora, you know, it mounts onto that toggle switch and you can control the lights and then it keeps it in the on position. And that's worked well for us in different applications. They don't have, and we've had listeners ask about this in the past, I don't think there exists something for paddle switches that's like that. I know, I think in some Amazon, like in other countries, they'll have kind of a total paddle cover that you can then program to control Hue lights, but I've not tried that yet.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, maybe Lutron can make something for that too. All right, there's some news from Acara. So Acara, they've been making some of the few HomeKey supported locks. We've talked about the A100, which is that super futuristic lock, not available yet in the US. That's really just for China. But there's actually another lock now, the D100, that Acara is, it's not actually for China. It's going to be for other markets. So this might be the lock we hopefully will see in the US at some point. And the reason why that's important is because HomeKey, Apple's HomeKey support using NFC to be able to unlock your door with your phone or Apple Watch, it's really only available on one lock here in the US, and that is the Schlage, I think I pronounced that correct this time, the Schlage Encode, which has the keypad, uses HomeKey, and that's the only option we have right now, and it's been out of stock everywhere. So it'll be great. I'll put an image in the podcast chapter so you can see what this D100 lock looks like. Hopefully, we'll get to that soon. But back to you, Shane. What locks have you used HomeKit-wise, and do you have the HomeKey Schlage one somewhere in your house?
Yes, I do. I've used a few and haven't changed one out for a while until recently. And I did get that Schlage lock and I love it. I love it so far. So yeah, the HomeKey feature is just amazing. It's really cool.
So for a home key, I mean, is it really just holding your phone up to the lock and it unlocks quickly, or do you have to do anything specific?
No, it really does. Yeah. And I've gotten to where I pretty much just use my watch all the time, my Apple Watch. It's just super easy, easier than having to pull out your phone. But if you don't have an Apple Watch, yeah, you can just hold it up there. You don't have to unlock it, turn it on or anything. There is a feature that you can disable if you don't like that, to where you would have to kind of authenticate on your phone. But if you turn that quick access, I forget what the name of the feature is, but if you turn that on, you just hold it up there and it's just like magic.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're building a new house. I haven't bought a lock yet. I was looking at the level locks because I love how they just kind of hide inside the deadbolt. Mm-hmm. But there's no home key yet, and we haven't heard if they're going to be updating. I think there was like a rumor or some speculation they might be adding home key to their level lock touch lock, which is the one that we actually replace the exterior. You can run your finger across it.
Right.
But it's not available just yet. Do you have any experience with the level lock ones too?
I have not, but I'm actually thinking about getting one because I'm looking at replacing another lock and I just don't need the keypad and all that kind of stuff. We don't use it as much. So I'm thinking about getting one of those. But yeah, that's what's kind of exciting about when I looked at this new Acara D100, because if I'm not mistaken, that's an existing lock.
Right.
So they added home key support to an existing lock. I think it was 2020 that lock came out, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
So that kind of tells you that they can roll out an update to support home key to existing locks.
Correct.
So maybe the level locks will do the same with theirs, because it seems like the technology is built in there with the NFC and everything on that level lock. Mm-hmm. So hopefully.
Yeah, I think as long as a lock has NFC, I think that it could be updated to support home key. These Acara ones, you really got to like this design though. Like, I'm looking at the style right now. Like, it is very strong, like unique, we'll say. Like, this does not look like your average lock. Like, you got to want this
thing. No. Yeah, and it's interesting because there's no handle. It's like the other one. So it's unique. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. On a home, you'd have to have a very modern style home, I think, for that thing to work. Good options. I mean, I'm glad we got options there. So hopefully it comes to the US. Now, we talked about the leaks of the Sonos Ray, which is their budget soundbar, and the Sonos voice assistant. Those were leaked by The Verge, and now they're official. Sony has announced that the Ray is going to be available. You can order it on June 7th. It's going to start at $279. This is their budget soundbar, no microphone. So if you wanted a soundbar that doesn't have any kind of voice assistant or microphone, that's the Sonos Ray. And again, this is kind of at the entry level. And then you got the Beam at the mid-level for soundbars. And the Sonos Arc is that flagship, the top soundbar. Then they're also announcing new colors for the Sonos Roam. I actually got one of those Roam SLs, which doesn't have a microphone either. It's real nice. Uses Bluetooth or AirPlay. Those are pretty cool. And this is the Sonos Roam that has a microphone, and it's now available in like a greenish, a blue, and an orangey, reddish kind of color. So nice, you can get different colors, you know, kind of like HomePod Mini. You can get those in a couple colors. So yeah, you got any Sonos stuff, Shane? But what speaker? Are you an all HomePod guy? Do you have any other kind of speakers around here?
So I already had like a 5.1 surround sound for like my main, you know, TV watching area. If I ever redo that, I'll probably go Sonos, just because it's really appealing for different reasons. But yeah, other than that, HomePods pretty much everywhere.
I still wish that the big HomePod. You know, the iPod was discontinued last week as we record. Mm-hmm. And so I talked more about that on the Apple Insider show. But end of an era, iPod from 2001 to 2022, they had a 21-year run, which is pretty good.
Yep.
But that's now been discontinued, and it joins things like the iMac Pro and the big HomePod that have been discontinued.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out hope that Apple releases some kind of high-end audio device. Because, you know, I mentioned, I think it was a couple weeks ago on the Apple Insider show, Apple like gave away like a whole studio setup to a young filmmaker, and they gave him like a Mac studio display, iPhone 13 Pro Max, like all this high end stuff. And then as a speaker, the only thing Apple really could give him was a HomePod Mini. It's like, you got all this like pro equipment, studio this, studio that, and then a HomePod Mini, which HomePod Mini's fine. Like, they work, they sound.
Yeah.
I think for the size, That's one of the best sounding speakers for the size, especially if you do a
For the size.
Especially if you do a stereo pair. You can really get some good sound that way. But man, those big HomePods, I use a pair at one TV as a home theater, and it just sounds so good. I just wish they were faster. Like that A8 chip, I think it has an A8 inside. It's just really feeling the sluggishness, especially now, like several years later.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Can we start a petition, Shane? Would you sign it to bring back the big HomePod?
I would definitely sign that. Yeah, I'm hoping. I don't know. I stay hopeful. It'd be nice to see some sort of audio device, especially after the discontinuation of that of the iPod recently. Maybe we'll see an announcement soon. I don't know. That would be awesome.
It would be nice. And you know, there's been rumors about a home theater type soundbar that Apple could do, which with Sonos making their own voice assistant, which I'd be curious your thoughts on that in a second. You know, Sonos is developing their own voice assistant along with, we have Google, we have Amazon's assistant, we have Apple assistant. Like Siri can be built into third-party devices. I actually have an Ecobee thermostat at the new house and it has the Siri built in, which is actually really nice. I've been using it a couple times just to test it out and it works consistently. A little light on top lets you know it's listening. You see the Siri symbol. So Sonos could have built Siri support into their devices, but they chose to make their own voice assistant, probably because they want their own data on that. They want to be able to customize maybe the assistant's actions to Sonos specifically, not just Siri and Alexa. But I'm still not sure how I feel about this. I don't think we needed another voice assistant, but I don't know. How do you feel about voice assistants? You got all different kind in your house, or do you stick to Siri?
No, I stick to Siri. I'm HomeKit all the way here. I retired all the Amazon devices and stuff that I had years ago, and haven't really looked back. But yeah, I agree. I don't think we really needed another voice assistant. I feel like this was a missed opportunity by Sonos because so many HomeKit users use Sonos speakers. And to me, when we heard about Apple releasing Siri to be able to be incorporated in third-party devices like the Ecobee, Sonos was one of the first things I thought of. That just seemed like a natural fit. So I'm a little bummed out that they're not doing that.
Yeah, and again, like you're saying, AirPlay 2 speakers, there are some out there, but Sonos really makes the best and the most high-end ones. There are some like, I forget the name. Andrew reviewed it, like the Mu-Lu something. I forget. But they're like $2,000 speakers.
Okay.
It's like $2,000 for a single speaker. And it's like, that's just not feasible for most people. And if you want to buy speakers for your entire house, we actually had a recent sponsor, Dio Connect, D-I-O, which has like a pack of three for $200. These little AirPlay 2 speakers, no microphone or voice assistant. It's just AirPlay 2, which is great because it's a niche in the market that kind of, it's not filled by many manufacturers, just an assistant-free AirPlay 2 speaker that you can use in automations and stuff like that. And Sonos, like I was saying, makes the good range of products. You can get a $200 Sonos that sounds really good, or you can get a $1,000 Sonos, like an Arc, and it sounds amazing, and you can pair it with a sub. And so it is one of those kind of unique niches in the AirPlay HomeKit world that is not really served by many others. You got HomePods and you got Sonos, and now you only have the HomePod Mini, so... If you want high-end audio, you know, Sonos is it. So, so we'll see. It's not out yet. I think it's coming out this summer. They'll start rolling out the voice assistant, but we'll see. Hopefully I can disable that and just use it as an AirPlay. But
yeah.
This episode is brought to you by ZocDoc. Listen, finding and booking a doctor who's right for you, it doesn't need to be a terrible experience. Listen, we've all been there. We try to find a doctor. We get someone, we do all the phone calls and have to wait on hold and can take forever. You finally make an appointment, but then you get to that doctor and you find out they don't take your insurance and you got to do the whole process over again. Well, ZocDoc can help you solve all of that. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. You can read up on the doctors and get verified patient reviews so you know exactly what to expect when you go see this new doctor, see what other real humans have to say about their visit. And when you go to ZocDoc.com, you choose a time slot and whether you want to see a doctor in person or do a virtual visit, just like that, you're booked. I love being able to book appointments like that online. You don't have to make any phone calls. You could find the doctor that's right for you, book an appointment that works your schedule. And every month, millions of people use ZocDoc. I'm one of them. I use them to find general practitioners, specialists. It's my go-to whenever I need to find and book a doctor. You can even put your insurance provider and your specific insurance plan, and ZocDoc will find the perfect doctor to match it. In the chaotic world of healthcare, let ZocDoc be your trusted guide to find a quality doctor in a way that is surprisingly pain-free. With ZocDoc, you can get your docs in a row. They gave me that pun, I'll be honest. So go to ZocDoc.com/HKI for HomeKit Insider and download the ZocDoc app for free. Totally free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/HKI. ZocDoc.com/HKI. Our thanks to ZocDoc for sponsoring this episode. All right, so I have some apologies to make on the three-way switch debacle that I've been going through for the past several weeks. At the new house, we have several three-way and four-way switch configurations, and I've been trying pretty much every brand I can get my hands on. I have done the Lutron, the Wemo, the Maris, Leviton. I couldn't do the Eve because they don't support three-way. So I tried all these different switches. And last episode, I was talking about the Leviton switches, and someone called me out in an email, so I will admit to it. I should have read and done my research on all the Leviton switches before I invested in them, because I actually talked to someone at Leviton. Someone actually called me, and I talked to them about the setup, and it is true. You can use the Leviton dimmer, the Decora second generation, in three- and four-way applications, but you absolutely need the companion remote from Leviton. And there are three different companion switches in these three-way configurations. There's one for matching with the dimmer. There's one just for matching with a switch. And then another one that is the no status LED. And so there's three different companion switches that you need to match properly with the main Leviton switch that you're going to install in one of these circuits. I had gotten the Leviton dimmer three-way, which was correct, but for the companion switches, I did not get the dimmer models. I just got the non-dimming switch companion, which is not compatible.
Okay.
Now, if I had gotten the right switches, you do not need to program them to use them. They would have worked even if without adding to HomeKit, they would have just worked fine, but I never got to that point because we have an electrical inspection and I needed to make sure all the switches work. So when the inspector goes through and hits every switch, something happens. And there was times when my three-way switch configurations was not working because the Levitons don't work with a dumb switch on the other side. You have to have the Leviton companion switch. I asked them that directly. They confirmed. You cannot have a dumb switch, paddle, or non-dimming switch, and the Leviton dimmer on another of the three-way circuit, and it work. It doesn't work.
Okay.
So what does work, and I just needed to get something in there, the Wemo switches, non-dimming, that are three-way compatible, those work with dumb switches. So you can have a Wemo switch over here, a dumb switch over here, non-dimming, and it works. Dumb switch can be off or on. Wemo switch still has access. The dimmer does not work there. But I think the Thread version is coming out soon because I went to go buy more of those Wemo switches, and they're not in stock anywhere. I can't get them on Amazon. You can't buy them from Wemo directly. You can't buy them from Best Buy. And so I bought a bunch like a few weeks ago. Now they're not available. And so I have a sneaking suspicion the Thread versions are coming soon. So I couldn't go with the Wemo. So what I did was I went with the Maris. Maris has a three-way switch, non-dimmer. And I can confirm it works with dumb switches. And so I replaced those Leviton dimmers with these Maris three-way switches. And it all works great. I even have a four-way application, and I hate this terminology. I'm not a construction person, but a four-way switch is three physical switches. And even in that scenario, I have a Maris switch and two dumb switches, and they all work together. The dumb switches can be in any configuration, up or down, and the Maris one still has control, and you can control it with HomeKit and doesn't lose power or anything. And so if I one day want to transition to three-way dimmers, the really only option there is the Leviton dimmer with their Leviton dimmer companion switch. I'll put the links in show notes to these. They also have some great diagrams and articles that walk through all of this. And so anyway, Leviton, they have the right product for this. I just didn't have the right setup. And so check that information if you want to do three- and four-way dimmer applications specifically. So anyway... That has been my experience with three-way switches. And so now, Shane, HomeKit expert over there, I want to know, Do you have any HomeKit three-way switch configurations in your house?
Oh yeah, I have quite a few. So I'm using Lutron Caseta pretty much everywhere. Well, not everywhere, I take that back. But mostly everywhere, I guess I should say. And I love them. Lutron Caseta works.
Oh yeah.
Most people, I don't think I've heard anybody complain about Lutron Caseta. So super reliable. You can use little Pico remotes as the three-way, you know, switches. So they right. work great in three-way switch setups. And then I do have a few of, I actually made a video on these a while back, the Wemo, you mentioned the Wemo. So I have a few of those Wemo three-way switches also. And I got those mainly for those situations. They're not dimmers, they're just off on.
Right.
But I got those for those three-way switches that I just really didn't want to spend the money on Lutron. So with Lutron, you know, you have to, they're expensive for one, but then you got to get the Pico remotes for the other, you know, switch locations. And with Wemo, kind of like with your Maris, it sounds like you just replace one switch and you don't have to right. replace all the other ones. You just use the old dumb switches there,
right.
you know, in areas like my stairs or kids' rooms and things like that that I didn't really care too much about. But now I can automate those lights by just replacing one switch. So that's what I've been using. And so far, everything's been working great.
Yeah. And the Lutron, I love Lutron. I have several of them in the new house, especially for ceiling fan control. That's really the only good option for ceiling fan control.
Yeah.
But for the three-way configurations, it's really just a Pico remote on the wall. There's not, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not a Lutron switch that you can actually install as a three-way switch location, right? It's just the Pico remote.
Well, so what you do is basically you can buy a wall plate or mount or switch mount. I'm not sure what they call it.
Right.
And you basically just wire up the switch so it's basically always on, I guess is what it is. So it kind of completes that circuit. So it's kind of just closed off and the Pico remote just goes over it. Not actually wired to anything, but it integrates in there and, you know, nobody would ever know the difference. It looks just like it's wired, you know, and I've got them integrated in. I've got 3-4 gang switch plates and Pico remotes integrated in those with my other smart switches. And you can't tell the difference, you know, and they work just fine.
So if you have the wiring in the wall, you can get that specific mount or whatever, and the wires you plug into that and it keeps the circuit live basically.
So yeah, you don't plug the wires into anything. You basically just wire them together a certain way and it kind of kind of completes that circuit, if that makes sense.
Right.
So yeah, the switch and the mount, it's just a little plastic mount that allows you to screw it into like a, you know,
the wall plate.
2-3 gang wall plate or whatever. And then you just pop the Pico remote on top of that. And it just kind of sits over top of the box.
Yeah. I'm not an electrician. And so I knew I could like just connect the wires in some of those three-way locations just so they're on all the time and then do the remote stuff. But I didn't want to blow up my new house. So I strayed away from that. I didn't know.
I understand. It's actually, if I can figure it out, anybody can figure it out. It's not too hard. And there's pretty good instructions.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's a very common thing. I think people use those Pico remotes for those little three-way switch setups. So there's pretty good instructions out there and stuff if somebody wanted to give it a shot. But yes, I agree. If when in doubt, call an electrician.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, one last follow-up on the Leviton stuff. We talked about their no neutral line that just launched. So if you have an older home and you don't have those neutral wires to use with smart switch scenarios, their Decora switches that are no neutral, they had a maximum of 50 devices, I think, per hub. And they actually reached out to me again. And you can actually get multiple hubs for the Leviton no neutral switch application if you need more than 50 switches. So you can expand that and you can use multiple hubs with those Leviton no neutral devices. So just wanted to clarify that because that was a question last week. So.
Nice.
Well, Shane, you got a bunch of HomeKit devices. Here's my first question. So you have a couple smart shades as well, right? What brand smart shades do you have experience with and which do you really like?
So I have used a few different options. I've used the Lutron Serena shades, which are amazing. In fact, I just installed some of their honeycomb shades recently. So they recently redesigned those honeycomb shades and I installed one. I actually have another pair I'm gonna install or another set. And then I've used the Lutron Serena roller shades, which are really nice. I love those because they're so quiet. I have used the Eve motion blinds. I've got a couple of those, which are also really good. And then I also have a lot of, it's kind of a retrofit device. It's called the Soma Tilt. I'm not sure if you've heard of that. So this is kind of something that you basically can hook up to like the tilt blinds that you have. So if you have existing tilt blinds, you can use these. They also have one that's for like roller shades, and you can kind of wire the little pull cord through that if you have those kind. But like I said, mine is the tilt ones, and I already had these tilt, you know, just dumb tilt shades or blinds in most of my house. You know, I didn't really want to redo those, and the wife didn't want to, you know, she liked the way they looked. So I got these Soma Tilts and kind of put them everywhere. And they're not the best product out there, but they're definitely, they're affordable, and they work really well. I mean, I've had an issue with them occasionally, but all in all, they work really well. So I love them. I love having those things.
This is super interesting. This is not something we've talked about on the show before. And so it is a device. It's like this little box that you would put next to your window frame. So you do have some, you know, visual thing there next to your window. Mm-hmm. But it has this little like cable that connects to the metal hook that normally you would have that like plastic pole on, and you would twist to open and close your shades. And this device basically manually turns that to open and close your shades, Venetian blinds, whatever it is. Now, it says it works with iOS, but is this actually a HomeKit device?
So it gets a little interesting here. It's so yeah, it controls the tilt wand is what I call it. I don't know what the technical term is there. excuse me. But yeah, so you can buy what they call the Soma Connect, which is essentially just a Raspberry Pi.
Okay.
It's weird because it doesn't, it's when you add it to HomeKit through this device, it tells you it's not a certified HomeKit device. So it gets a little weird there, but like it works really well.
Okay, that's super interesting. So basically with HomeBridge, you can get this into HomeKit.
It's not actually using HomeBridge. So it has their own hub.
Okay.
It's just not officially HomeKit certified. So like I said, it's kind of weird. And you can actually download this if you wanted to create your own, you know, Raspberry Pi just for this. You can actually download the Soma Connect image and create and basically make your own hub. But yeah, and to your point about the visual, the box, you'll have to go back and watch my video I did probably about a year ago. But I put these things throughout my entire, I did about 8 shades all in one room. And there's no way that would pass the wife test with that big box on the outside. So what I did was I actually reversed the shades and mounted that box on the inside of the window. Or like behind the shades.
Yeah,
so you can hardly, you can barely even see it when they're closed. You can't see it at all. And it was just a good way for me to automate all of my existing shades. And I have automation set where every morning, you know, at sunrise, they all open up, you know, in my, throughout my living room. And been really nice. So,
man, that's, you know, SwitchBot makes so many of these kinds of devices that kind of hack on to the manual mechanisms of, you know, curtains and all this kind of stuff. The literal finger you can get at SwitchBot that pushes a button like on your coffee maker. So
yes,
that's pretty cool though. And it's $150 per window, which, or per device, which may sound expensive, but until you start actually investigating the price of smart shades, like I have, I'm like,
oh yeah,
I'm gonna have to do this over time because this thing is like hundreds of dollars per window. I'd be curious your thought on this. So I have actually ordered one Eve motion blinds from Simple Blinds, I think, or Select Blinds.
Mm-hmm.
You can now get them from there. I measured them myself, so I'm going to try and bring that over later today. But there's like these options to put the, I don't know what they are, but like borders basically. I'm trying to black out a window because it's going to be in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to do a total blackout shade. And they have these things that you put, I guess, on the window that kind of goes between the window and the roller shade to block any light that might leak out of the sides.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that at all? Or do you have any of that on your windows?
Yeah, actually, that's something I've been playing around with a little bit myself. So did you order something through Select Blinds or?
Yeah, so there's basically like it felt, I don't know what, but there was so many add-ons. Like when you go the blinds, it's like, do you want something that goes over the roller shade? Or do you want it? You know, something at the bottom, and do you want these side things against the window? So one of the things they said was
nice.
There's going to be light leakage unless you get this thing. And I was like, well, give me that thing, because I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what else to do. So I ordered it directly from them as I ordered the blinds. So it all came
together. Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, I think I got my Eve Motion blinds through, I want to say it was Omnia blinds. So I don't remember seeing that that feature. That's awesome, because that is one of the, I wouldn't call it an issue, but that's one of the, you're going to get that really with any shades, I think, especially if you do inside the window frame mount, which is what I usually do on all mine. Right. And the Eve shades that I have are probably, they're pretty bad with that light spill on the edges. But like I said, you get that with all of them. So I did order, so I'm curious to see the ones you ordered. I might have to look into that, but I ordered some from, oh man, I can't even remember the name. It's some weird website, but they shipped them out immediately. They have different options, some that are like magnetic that you can mount to the side that does the same thing. So
right.
I ordered some of those, but I'm looking to get a few more. And so I might try out some of those, but they look really good. I just put some in my daughter's room, because actually for the Eve shades, I moved a pair of the Eve shades in there, and I put those, I don't even know what you call them, little trim side border things.
Yeah.
But it does work well. And if you're trying to black out a room, you pretty much have to do something like that.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm going to do a video when I put mine up. So I'll let you know how they work for sure.
Nice.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at Nebbia. Guys, I've been using Nebbia showers for several years now. I have the Nebbia by Moen Spa shower, which we love. My entire family loves it. And the Nebbia Quattro shower head as well. I actually had a listener just recently went to go buy the Quattro head. They used our promo code, and I know they're having a great shower experience. So you're helping the environment and getting a better shower experience all at once. Nebbia showers atomize droplets of water, that's the fancy word for, to rinse the shampoo conditioner even out of the thickest hair. And self-installation is super easy. I've never changed a shower head before, and I was able to change these out in about 15 minutes. Nebbia gives you all the instructions you need. It has great thermal comfort, which means it gets hot just like a normal shower, and it's even better because it envelops you with water. It's almost like a spa experience. It's available in four premium finishes, the Nebbia by Moen Spa Shower or the Nebbia Quattro. You can get white and chrome, spot-resistant nickel, matte black, black and chrome, and they also have accessories. I have the shower shelf and the hooks, which are really nice, and they have a quick-dry earth mat, which I'm getting for my new house. I'm excited for that. And also, if you have kids, the Nebbia by Moen Spa Shower is height adjustable, like even after you install it. And my kids love being able to bring the shower down when they get in the shower. My wife and I can adjust the height. It's one of the coolest features, honestly. So here's what you do. The Nebbia by Moen Spa Shower starts at just $199. And for HomeKit Insider listeners, we have a deal for you. You go to nebbia.com/HomeKit, NEBIA.com/HomeKit. Use the promo code HomeKit, all one word, at checkout to get 10% off all Nebbia products. Nebbia doesn't do sales on all their products like this, but they've partnered with us for a long time. It's a great deal to jump on. Again, go to nebbia.com/HomeKit. That's NEBIA.com/HomeKit. Check out what they have to offer and save 10% with promo code HomeKit. Our thanks to Nebbia for sponsoring this episode. So tell me, what obscure, we'll say, or maybe non-popular HomeKit brands and products might you have in your house? So you got that one off a weird website. It's the first we've heard of the Soma Tilt. Any other kind of peripheral device? Because we have listeners a lot of times, you know, we always mention Eve, Akara, Philips Hue, you know, all the big ones.
Sure.
And a lot of those smaller names, because there really aren't a lot of them, but a lot of those smaller names don't get mentioned a lot. So do you have any obscure HomeKit devices that you really love?
Sure. Well, let's see. Yeah, I do love all the ones you mentioned, Eve, Akara, and all those. The Soma Tilt, that's a great one. Like I said, if you're trying to retrofit existing shades, some that I've been kind of tinkering with lately, and I have mixed feelings about some of the stuff, but I don't know if you've heard of Zimi Smart, and I recently got their Zigbee devices, kind of like Akara, you know, so they have a HomeKit bridge. Or hub that you buy, this little Zimi Smart bridge. And I didn't think too much of it. They kind of reached out to me at one point and sent me some stuff. And I didn't think much of it until I looked on their website, and they have a HomeKit section on their website that allows you to incorporate a lot of devices that you natively don't see anywhere else. So you mentioned SwitchBot earlier. You know, SwitchBot has that little curtain bot, for example, that, right? But that's not native HomeKit. Zimi Smart actually, and they sent me one of these too. I might make a video on it. I'm not sure yet. But they sent me they have a curtain bot that you can get into HomeKit natively.
Wow.
And that's something that I haven't seen anywhere else. They have a water shutoff valve that I just talked about in a video recently. Again, allows you to get native support to that. What else? Oh, there's a window opener. I haven't seen one of those. All those can be incorporated into HomeKit natively through this bridge. So some pretty interesting devices. That might be one to look at, kind of, like you said, a little lesser known. It's a Chinese brand, and the shipping can take a while if you order through their website, but some pretty unique little devices there.
That's interesting. So Zimi, Z-I-M-I. I'll put a link in the show notes to that. That's pretty cool.
I think it's Z-E-M-I, isn't it? Or I might be wrong.
Oh. Well, let me see. There might be two Zimis. Let's see.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, I want to get it right because I want to put the show.
Yeah, let me see.
There's Zimi, Zimi.life, Z-I-M-I.
No, yeah, so it's Zimi Smart, Z-E-M-I, smart.com.
Oh, my goodness. Well.
And you can kind of see, like I said, there's some pros and cons with some of their devices, but they've got door sensors, motion sensors. I did a video on their hub a few weeks back. And like I said, just I was really kind of intrigued because of the variety of devices that you can get in there that I just haven't seen with native HomeKit support before. So, and it all uses Zigbee, which is good. That the devices itself use the Toya app. So it's kind of in that realm.
Interesting.
But yeah, interesting stuff for sure.
Okay, cool. Tell me, as we near the end here, I would love to know, because you talk a lot about automations and notifications on your channel.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your favorite automations that you have, whether it, you know, HomeKit automations, whether it's time of day or motion or whatever? Like, what are some cool automations that you just are really proud that you were able to build and you really find useful?
Well, believe it or not, I actually really just prefer simplicity, which you may not
I get it.
Think looking at my channel, but yeah, I really love just keeping things simple. So as far as my favorites go, we talked about those Soma tilt shades. You know, every morning, all those shades throughout my living room and dining area all open automatically with the sunrise. They all close automatically in the evenings. I also have automation set to where, you know, the last of, you know, my wife or I, the last person to leave, it'll shut all those. So things like that, that just happen automatically. Those are probably my favorites. I also have, you know, certain lights like cabinet lights and things like that, that automatically come on when we arrive home, automatically turn off when we leave. So things are just always, it seems like they're always on, but they're actually closing and turning off when we leave. You know, things like that are just happening and I don't ever have to think about them, which I really love that.
What cabinet lights do you have? Did you use LED strips or LED lights for the cabinet stuff?
Yeah. So I've got some, they're VocoLink lights, light strips right now that I put above and below all my cabinets. Yep.
That's
and
cool.
I pretty much use them. They're pretty much always on. So I use them for accent lights, you know, at night. They're kind of a little more dim and stuff like that.
Very cool.
One that I just set up. And I made a video recently about this, and I really love this one. It's not really quote unquote sexy automation. It's not really one you probably show off to your friends, but I got a water shutoff valve into HomeKit, and I automated that to automatically shut off the water to my entire house when a leak is detected. So you can use these little water sensors, which, you know, Eve makes a great one, the Eve Water Guard. I've got a bunch of the little Akara water sensors. They're all throughout the house. And now if any one of those detects water, it will automatically shut off the water. So I don't have to be home. It'll just happen. It'll send me a notification, of course, and potentially save me thousands of dollars in water damage. So
what is the water shutoff device you have?
So the one I'm using is called, it's a Z-Wave shutoff valve. It's called the EcoNet Bulldog, I believe. And like I said, it's a Z-Wave shutoff valve. And I was able to get that into HomeKit using something called the Thinka Z-Wave Hub. So
you may
have heard of that. It's not available in the US yet, unfortunately. Hopefully it will be later this year, we're told. It is available in Europe right now. So you can, you know, if you live in Europe, you can get one. And it's pretty awesome. I've been able to get a lot of really cool Z-Wave products into HomeKit, and you know they support HomeKit natively because of this, so you're not having to use Homebridge or anything like that.
Right.
You talked about obscure devices. I've got some pretty crazy Z-Wave devices into HomeKit thanks to that hub. So.
Like what? What are some of those crazy devices?
Well, the water shutoff valve is one.
Yeah, for sure.
And also Zimi Smart, we talked about, they do have a water shutoff valve. It's not as good, in my opinion. I did a video kind of comparing the two. I tried both out. But some other of the Z-Wave products, there's a one that I really like is a little switch. We were talking about switches too. So it's a switch, it's hardwired into, it's called Zeus, I think. And it's got a main button, like a big button, which is hardwired. And then there's five other little buttons built into it. And those are all exposed to HomeKit as, you know, just as HomeKit buttons. So I can automate those to do other things. And it's all kind of integrated right there in the switch. I put one in my daughter's room and put little stickers on each button. So one will do like her bedtime scene. One will, you know, play her favorite playlist on the HomePod, stuff like that, which is really cool. And I got some smoke detectors in there. I just ordered an outdoor water leak sensor that has like a 10-year battery life. And again, with those water shutoff valve, I'm gonna probably put this like in my crawl space or something. So
right.
If it detects any massive amounts of water, shut off the water. So fun stuff like that.
So that Thinka Z-Wave Hub, we actually had the Thinka CEO on the show probably almost a year ago. And we interviewed him about that hub specifically.
Oh.
But it was supposed to be coming to the US and it's not. So I was just on the website. You can't supposedly ship it to the US. So like, how do you get one of these, man? How do you do this?
I guess you gotta have a YouTube channel, I guess.
Oh, they sent it to you. I see.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the hookup. I think it was supposed to be available by now, if I'm not mistaken. So I assume, I don't know what maybe
pushed
that back, but I'm told it will be this year still, last I heard. So
Okay. Hopefully
that will come this year. It's not a cheap product. I mean, it's an expensive hub.
Sure.
Like I said, it is available in Europe and it does open up some possibilities if you can get pretty much any Z-Wave product into HomeKit with that.
Yeah, no, that is very cool. Okay, last question. What's your favorite HomeKit device?
Let's see, I'll say this. Probably the nicest HomeKit product I have is, I'll say, the roller shade, the Lutron Serena roller shades. That's probably the nicest. I don't know if that's my favorite, but just the most premium, nicest product, I'll have to go with that one.
Lutron Serena shades, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, Shane, thanks so much for coming on this week's HomeKit Insider. They'll put links in show notes to your YouTube channel, and you can find you at Shane Creates. We'll put your Twitter on there as well. Anything else you'd like to point people to for your stuff?
Oh, no, just Shane Creates over on Instagram, pretty much everywhere, Shane Creates. I'm on Instagram more than Twitter. I'm not too great at Twitter, but I try. I appreciate you having me on, man. I enjoy always talking about HomeKit with fellow enthusiasts.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll put links and show notes to the different things like Zemi Smart and the Thinka Hub. Obviously, the Econet Bulldog. That thing is serious. I just found that thing on Amazon. And that should be fun. Well, anyway, Shane, thanks so much. So listeners, you can look in the show notes for our sponsors, the links to Shane's YouTube channel and all that. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/HomeKit Insider. If you haven't yet, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating and review as well. We'll give you a shout out on next week's show if you do that. And as always, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.